Thank you, Brent. Tonight is an exciting night, baptism and communion. I'm just excited to be up here. I talked to Pastor Bill before he left, and I just thanked him for the opportunity to be able to preach on Sunday nights and then the opportunity to observe communion, the Lord's Supper. What an important night and exciting night that we get to come together and remember the atoning death of Jesus Christ on that cross and what it meant to us, what it was for, and why we remember that. And so I believe to understand the Lord's Supper, we need to understand the tradition of the Passover meal and what the Passover meant. And so turn with me into Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And I'm going to read verses 14 through 20. Verses 14 through 20 of Luke chapter 22. Once you get there, if you would, just stand to honor the reading of God's word. Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. It says, "And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof, until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and said, Take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine, until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you." If you would be seated and bow with me as we pray for just the service and the honor, the reading of God's word and the scripture that we're going to dive into tonight. Let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes. Dear God, we are so thankful, as I've already said, to be in this place together. We're thankful for your word, the scripture, the true words of Jesus Christ, and an opportunity together tonight to remember Jesus' atoning death, the blood of Jesus Christ covering us, the sacrifice he made with his body for us so that we could live, so that we could be forgiven. I pray that we honor tonight, that we glorify you. I pray you'd move me aside, you'd clear me of any distractions, God. And Lord, that you would just speak through me right now. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Leading up to this point, I look back into Exodus chapter 12, where God, he comes and he speaks to Moses and Aaron. And at this point, the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, they are in slavery in Egypt. They're enslaved. And God institutes the Passover meal in Exodus chapter 12. Comes, he speaks to Moses, he speaks to Aaron, and he says, you need to get all the people of Israel, our people, God's people, and you need to make them take a lamb that is without blemish, a perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice, and they're to take this lamb and eat it, but they're also going to take the blood from this lamb, and they're going to put it on the upper doorpost in the town. And what's really cool is what happens is the upper doorpost, God is about to pass judgment onto Egypt. He's about to go through, and he's going to smite all the firstborn man and beast of all the people that don't have the blood on the upper doorpost. So he's saying, if you do this, if you take this perfect sacrificial lamb and it's without blemish, it's a male lamb, and you go and you put that blood up on those upper doorposts, when God comes through, he will pass over those houses. He will save these people, the nation of Israel, and he will free them from the bondage that they're facing in Egypt. He'll free them from that slavery. And aren't you glad that the blood of Jesus covers us so we can be free from sin, so that we can be forgiven, so that we can be free just like these slaves were in Egypt? They were freed because of the blood of that sacrificial lamb. And you know, when John the Baptist, when he introduced Jesus to the world, he called him the Lamb of God, Jesus being the perfect sacrifice, the absolutely without blemish, the perfect sacrifice. And that's our Savior. That's the God that we know. That's our Father. A person that loved us so much, he was willing to die a shameful, painful, slow, agonizing death on a cross so that we could live, so that we could be free, so that we could experience that freedom. And so this tradition of the Passover meal went on for generations and generations. And right up to the point of Jesus' death, right before he dies, he tells the disciples, he says, go and prepare the Passover meal. So to them, this is a normal tradition. This is something that has been done many a times. You know, they're going to observe and remember the freedom that the people of Israel got from Egypt and King Pharaoh. They were to commemorate it. They were to remember it. They were to look back on it and think, wow, this is how we gained our freedom. God spared us. God gave us instruction. We followed him, followed Moses, and we were led, and he freed us. And so when we get to this point, I love this. In verse 15, it says, he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Can you imagine being one of the disciples? Can you imagine Jesus Christ coming to you and saying, I have an intense desire. That's what it's talking about, an intense desire to eat with you before I go and suffer. I know what's to come. I know what I'm about to have to face, and I want to spend this time with you. What an honor that must have been. I can't even imagine if Jesus Christ was here and he said, I want to just go and have supper with you. I want to come and prepare this for you, and I want to be with you, even though I'm about to go and suffer. Jesus wasn't sitting back in agony and wanting to just, you know, have sorrow and feel sorry for himself. He's saying, I still want to teach my disciples. And this is a great teaching moment for the disciples. I love that Jesus is the perfect teacher of all time. He is the most perfect teacher. Y'all know that my former profession, my career, I was a middle school teacher. And in teaching middle school, you learn that a lot of kids learn different ways. And I taught special education. Different students with learning disabilities, we had to find many different ways that the kids could learn. You know, some students learn with their hands kinesthetically. They like to touch things and see it and put it back together and take it apart, and that's how they learn. Some students learn visually. They're able to see something, and then they can do it. Some learn with auditory process and being able to just hear it. They can just hear somebody speak. Some people like to take notes and go back and study those and learn it that way. And you know that Jesus appealed to every one of those groups throughout his life. I love that. I love that he's the perfect teacher because it's hard to teach in a way that you don't learn. It's really difficult to teach in a way that you don't learn. So I'm so thankful that we can look at the life of Jesus from the virgin birth to him being 12 years old, starting his ministry in the temple courts, to performing miracles, to teaching the disciples, to teaching other people. It's amazing to see how perfect of a teacher he was. Think of this. There were blind people. There were deaf people. There were lame people. And Jesus made those blind people able to learn visually. He took those deaf people, made them able to learn auditory. They could hear. He took the lame people. They were able to work with their hands. He healed people. And we're called to remember who Jesus was and who he still is and who he is when he comes later on for us. And in this time, we're to do these things in remembrance of him. So up to this point, the Passover meal was to remember the freedom that the people of Israel got from Egypt. And now Jesus, like I said, the perfect teacher, he's ready to teach another lesson. Jesus was always ready to teach. He wanted his disciples to learn. He wanted his disciples to know what they needed to do when he was gone. Once he ascended back up into heaven after he was raised from the dead, a miracle. It's amazing to see the story of Jesus. And then for him to say, go, I have an intense desire to eat this meal with you. What an honor. And they had asked, they had said, well, where are we going to go eat this meal? And he said, go into town. There's going to be a man with a pail of water, and he's going to show you this upper room that's furnished, and that's where we're going to have our meal. And they went, and that's exactly what happened. And so we get to this point. And Jesus, it's amazing. I love seeing this. I love reading this scripture because these disciples are ready to learn. They're ready to do something they were already ordinarily used to, a tradition that they were used to. And Jesus stood up and said, you know, I'm going to teach you something new. We're going to take what you already know, and I'm going to teach this to you. I'm going to show you what it means, what my death is about to mean, what the atoning death is about to mean. And so when I think about this, I look into 1 Corinthians. Paul, he writes to the Corinthians in chapter 11, okay, and in verse 27 and 28. And this is talking of the Lord's Supper. He says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body of the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I think of how important the Lord's Supper is, what it means. It's not just a tradition. It's not just a ritual that we do. It's not just something to put on the schedule. But it's to do in remembrance of Jesus Christ's atoning death on that cross. Jesus was willing to teach his disciples this so that we could learn from it, to move past just that Passover meal and say, this is the bread, this is the body of me, this is the sacrifice that I made, and then the cup, this is the blood that I shed for you. This you do in remembrance of me. Isn't it important as Christians to remember Jesus, to remember what he did for us, to remember who he was when he was here on earth. I think a lot of people know the name of Jesus, but they don't understand it. I think a lot of people want to say that they're Christians and that they know who Jesus is, but they don't know about his life. They don't understand the story. And so it made me think, okay, of this little boy named Carson, all right? This is a made-up story. I don't know this kid named Carson, okay? But I thought it was pretty good. I saw a kind of a funny post on Facebook and kind of read into it. This boy named Carson, okay, he went to school and he's got friends on the playground. And their names are Paul and Timothy. And so they got into a discussion over by the swing set. And they said, hey, where'd your name come? Why'd your parents name you that? And Paul piped up and said, well, I was a great preacher in the New Testament. I set up a lot of churches. And so my parents, they wanted to give me a name from the Bible. And then Timothy piped up and said, wow, that's crazy because my name's Timothy. And I was Paul was like my mentor and I was a young preacher. And so Carson said, I don't know where my name came from. I'm Carson. I have no idea. So he was excited to go home and ask, hey, where did my name come from? I don't understand. I know what my name is, but I don't understand the story behind it. These other kids at school, they know the story. And so the dad sat back and he laughed and he said, son, I don't know if you want to know this. And the little boy Carson was like, what? Why? Like, these other kids at school have these awesome names, these awesome stories. But I want to understand my story. I want to understand how this is my name. This is the name that I was given. And so the dad sits back and he gets the mom in the room and says, all right, we're going to tell Carson about how we named him. Sits down and said, Carson, you know, we were expecting you and it was so awesome. And your mom, she started having those contractions. She was getting ready to go to the hospital. And we get on the way to the hospital and something happened and it was crazy. Looked over and said, son, you were born in the car. So your name's going to be Carson. And so this kid, now understanding the story that, wow, I was born in a car, so my name's Carson, he goes back to school and tells these kids, he understood his story. I don't know if he appreciated his name that much at that point. But think about it, a simple, just silly story that I saw online. But to understand the name of Jesus, what it really means, you got to understand his story. You got to understand that he was a teacher, that he was our Savior, that he was willing to go up to Calvary and, like I said, die a slow and painful and shameful death. And even in the midst of that, knowing that that's what was about to happen, understanding that he was about to have to go and die this death for everybody, he said, you know what, disciples, I want to go sit with you. I want to teach you one more time. I want to show you something that's going to last forever. It's not just a ritual anymore. It's not just communion that we take because we want to or we want to put it on the schedule, but it is communion because we are going to remember Christ's atoning death, that we are able to celebrate and proclaim his name, knowing that he rose again on that third day and that he is alive and well, and that we're able to sit back and say, you know what, my God died on a cross for me so that I could be saved. And it's something to remember. It's something to get emotional about. I get emotional about it because without Jesus Christ, I would be lost. There is no way that I could be saved without the blood of Jesus Christ, without him sacrificing his body. So recognize the importance of tonight. Recognize that we're called to be holy. We're called to walk in righteousness. And that when we examine ourselves before taking communion, when we will look at ourselves and track our spiritual growth and see where we're at and say, you know what, I'm where I need to be. I'm being the best Christian I can be. I'm doing what I can be. I'm applying the scripture that I have to my life. I understand Jesus' story. I understand what he did for me. I understand how important it is. Then you can take that bread and you can see the significance of it. It's not just a little cracker, but it's in remembrance of the body that Jesus Christ sacrificed for us. You ever had somebody sacrifice something for you? My parents sacrificed a lot of time for me growing up. I'm so thankful. They put a lot of time and effort into me. Whether it was clubs or playing sports, they were always there for me. They sacrificed so much of their time, and I look back and I think, wow, they were just so busy and I didn't even see it. They were just running circles around me trying to make sure I was provided for. That's nothing in comparison to the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made. People were mocking him. Our Savior, people were mocking him and beating him and hanging him up on a cross. Our Savior. And he did it willingly for us. And it's amazing that there's a God that loves us so much that he would do that for us. It's something to remember. Remembering Jesus is so important. It's something to know that the story is true. The Bible is true. All Scripture is inspired by God, and we have the words of Jesus to live our lives by and to learn and to know that they're true and to cling to in tough times and trials, knowing that we have a great reward waiting for us in heaven, knowing that we're saved by grace, that His blood covered our sins. He's willing to forgive us when we mess up. He's willing to meet us right where we're at and teach us and help us grow as Christians. And that should be the goal for every Christian, is to grow. Because you know who Jesus Christ is. You know His story. Many of you are raised in church or have been at this church for a long time. You've heard Bible preaching. You know the principles. You know who Jesus Christ is. Now make it a point every single day of your life to be reminded of who He is and what He did for us. We're getting ready here in just a few moments to take this communion. And I get emotional reading this. I think about how often we go through about our days and we don't think about Jesus. We don't think about what He did for us. We'll say we know Him. We say that we are Christians. But are we taking that time? Or are we setting that side of time to get in our Bibles and read the words of Jesus, recognizing how powerful He is? Like I said, He appealed to everybody. He taught in so many different ways, and miracles and healings and teaching and parables. He's willing to teach you. He's willing to help you grow. He sent the Holy Spirit to live within us, to dwell within us so that we could grow, so that the Holy Spirit could guide us and lead us and direct us. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever take that for granted. Because as we start taking that for granted, we start forgetting about what Jesus did for us. We start forgetting the things of God. We start separating ourselves. But if we'll remember daily that Jesus Christ died for us, and that we do, we take this bread, we take this drink. It's symbolic, but it's so that we can remember daily. These people observe the Passover meal from Exodus all the way up till right now, and Jesus stands up and He does something different. Talks about examining yourself, see where you're at. And then, once you know where you're at, you can take this bread, and you can take this cup. I love it. It's amazing. It really is. And I love it when He says, "This is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." And then in 1 Corinthians He said, "My body, which was broken for you." Jesus knew what He was about to face. And I'm not trying to be repetitive. I just want to make sure that you understand the significance of it. Now, this was a pivotal moment in the disciples' lives, in the lives that they were about to go and touch after Jesus' death. They were about to go and teach. They were about to go and share what they had seen throughout their life. They were about to go and do the Great Commission. And with this being the reminder for them, they're able to practice this. We're able to practice this in remembrance of who He is. So our ushers, they're going to get ready here in a second, and they're going to be coming down. Brent's going to be up here playing. And as they're coming down, I want to take a moment of just silent reflection. We didn't do it at the beginning, and I did that for a reason. But I want you all to think silently, okay? Because in 1 Corinthians, Paul, I've already read it, but it says, "Let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eateth and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." This isn't a, Pastor Bill would always say this, but this isn't a Baptist thing or a Methodist thing. This isn't a Presbyterian thing. This is a Christian thing. This is something we can do as Christians to remember who Jesus was and what He did for us and who He still is today. So examine yourself right now. I'm going to give you just a moment of silence, and then I'm going to pray for us, and we'll begin serving. And then we'll observe the Lord's Supper, remembering the importance of it. Not another ritual, not another thing we just do to fill time or the calendar, but to remember Jesus Christ. Thank you. God, I thank you so much for your son, Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for what he was willing to do for us. We are so undeserving. But you love us so much that you were willing to send your son to die on a cross for us, sacrificing his body and shedding his blood so that we could be forgiven. And now we're able to have the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him. And God, I pray that everyone in this building knows that this is for Christians. That as Christians, we get to do this. We get to proclaim the atoning death of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that we've taken this time to all make ourselves aware of the importance. And God, I pray that you would bless this time. You'd bless this bread and this juice that we're about to have, just to the nourishment of our bodies. God, we thank you and we praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.